Ross Molin Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bolin Podcast, presented by Bolin Media. I am Ross Bolin, here with Cade Orris, who is fresh off a night of South by Southwest action here in Austin, Texas, where he saw a rapper named Key Glock perform. Isn't that right, Cade?
That is right, Ross.
Before we get into that experience, I wanted to share some of what we've had going on here at Bolin Media lately. Formula Bone, our premier F1 show, hosted by none other than Jared J-Bone Borislow, is back in season, covering every single race and giving you all the F1 content you need all year long. No race this weekend. The next race is the Australian Grand Prix next weekend, but you can enjoy J-Bone's recap of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, which took place last weekend, now on youtube.com/@formulabone or in audio form on podcast platforms. Make sure you follow @formulabone on all the social medias to keep up with the latest in the world of F1 all year long with our boy J-Bone. On Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, our TV and movie podcast hosted by myself and one of my best friends of over 20 years, Mr. Barrett Dudley. We are currently covering season one of Shogun from Hulu/FX. We are 4 episodes into the season. The show has been badass so far, and you can listen to OCC, as it is known, on podcast platforms or watch on youtube.com/@oystersclamscockles. Additionally, Barrett and I went and saw Dune Part 2 last weekend, then did a full-hour podcast discussing and reviewing the movie, available on patreon.com/oystersclamscockles, which, if you want to check it out, you can sign up for a 7-day free trial on patreon.com/oystersclamscockles and do just that. We also have companion podcasts for a bunch of other classic movies as well for you to enjoy while your trial is active, and hopefully you'll stick around on there and support OCC after the fact. And of course, in addition to releasing our public episodes of RBP, Cade and I record and release an ad-free episode weekly on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, where we are also currently offering a 7-day free trial if you want to get in there and see what RBP Patreon is all about. We almost always take hotline calls from 888-WR-BOLIN and have a blast responding to our listeners. And to give you a little taste of the premium ad-free content you're missing out on, we'll be including a couple of our favorite calls from this week's Patreon-exclusive show at the end of today's episode that you are currently enjoying. All right, now, let's talk Key Glock, Cade. First of all, for people who are asking, who exactly is Key Glock? He's a 26-year-old rapper from Memphis, Tennessee, whose government name is Markavius LaShawn Cathy. He's the cousin by marriage, which I didn't realize, of slain fellow Memphis rapper Young Dolph.
Yeah, I just thought they were boys. I didn't know like there was any...
I thought they were cousins, but I didn't realize they were cousins through marriage.
So like Dolph married...
That's a good question.
Key Glock's cousin, and that makes them...
I don't know. I didn't even know Dolph was married.
Yeah, I don't know. This
Wikipedia doesn't specify, okay, though. Yeah, but his debut studio album was called Yellow Tape. It came out in 2020, peaked at number 14 on the Billboard 200, went gold. His second album, Yellow Tape 2, didn't switch up the branding there.
He does a lot of sequels to his albums, I've noticed. Yeah.
That one came out in 2021, peaked at number 7 on the charts, and had a platinum certified single, Ambition for Cash, as well as Proud, which was released in the wake of Dolph's death and marked his first entry on the Billboard Hot 100. And then his third album, the one I'm most familiar with, is Glaucoma 2, which came out last year, 2023, and had a hit single, Let's Go, his second entry on the chart. So, Cade, You went last night, South by Southwest, which is obviously a 2-week festival here in Austin. There's like an interactive part of it that's technology focused. There's like a film part of South by Southwest, and then there's music. And you saw Key Glock perform.
I did, yes. So I didn't find out about this until a couple of days ago, actually. On the South by Southwest website, they like have all the artists that are going to be performing throughout the week.
Right.
And I didn't see his name on there. And then, like, earlier this week, I saw some, like, Instagram story from, like, one of, like, the South by, like, things. They're like, hey, Key Glock's performing at this place tonight. I was like, oh, shit, I have to, like, go see him. And the show is free, too. So I'm like, I can't pass that up.
Yeah, and you're a big fan. Like, this is, you're the reason I know who Key Glock is. I was familiar with Young Dolph, obviously, before his passing. But sometimes on Patreon, Cade will share, like, new album reviews. Because he's 10 years younger than me, he's my plug to stay current in the rap world. Because I don't, we don't, 30, mid 30s,
we don't have time
folks,
to finding new artists.
We don't hear shit, man. Like, we don't, nobody, me and my friends, big rap fans, but somewhere in your late 20s, early 30s, you just get phased out.
Yeah.
And you stop being aware of like the best new young artists. So this is somebody Cade plugged me in with.
Yeah, it was like the first time I ever did it too.
Yeah,
that was like
Patreon.
One of my first albums. Yeah,
yeah, and I've really enjoyed quite a bit of Key Glock music since then. So yeah. I'm interested to hear how this went.
Yeah, so like I said, the show was free. It was at Vulcan Gas Company on Dirty Six.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. The place was kind of
was
sick
it a bar or like a music venue? Could you tell?
Yeah, it was like a bar, like club. It was. Three floors or two floors, and they had like a little outside rooftop area.
Okay, cool.
But you had to RSVP for this,
right?
So you couldn't get in without like showing them that like,
you had RSVP.
Yeah. So the event started at 6, and I wanted to get there early because I was worried that like I wouldn't be able to get in because they said like first come first serve,
and it was free.
Yeah,
so
it was
you
free.
Figure a ton of people are gonna come.
Yeah, like yeah, a free Key Glock concert. Like, how are you gonna pass up on that?
Yeah, so. South by is famously incredibly hectic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder than you would think to get into some of these shows.
Right. Yeah,
impossible in some cases.
Yeah, and a lot of them like you need a badge. And like that gets you in earlier compared to like not having a badge. So I didn't know if like that was gonna play a factor into it. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna get there like as soon as I can. So I get there around 6:30 and I meet up with one of my friends who wasn't a fan of Key Glock. I was just like, I texted him before. I'm like, hey, do you like listen to this dude's music at all? He's like, no, not really. But like, you know, tagging along for a little bit. You know, leaving like right before the show started too. So it was just me like the whole rest of the night, which was fine.
Just solo at a Key Glock concert.
Yeah. But yeah, so I got there at 6:30 and the line was like already insane. So I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm kind of glad. Like,
did you have doubts? Did you think maybe there was a chance you weren't getting in?
They had like staff like walking past the line and stuff, just like saying like, oh, you need your ID out, need to show like the RSVP. And then like someone asked like, are we going to be able to get in? And she's like, yeah, you should be fine. So it was like right next to us. I'm like, all right, we'll be good. But I think I got there too early still because they didn't start doing like anything really until 9. They like had a host and like a DJ before.
Right.
But that was for like almost 3 hours.
So what time did you get in the door?
A little before 7, I think.
All right. So yeah, you were in there a while.
Yeah, we had like 2 hours to kill. And
no wonder your boy left before it started.
Yeah, I was like, yep, that's my bad. I didn't think that one through. But again,
you wanted to make sure you got in, though.
Yeah.
I think you made the right choice.
And again, it's like, I don't know what the line was going to be like.
Right.
And everything. So I'm like, I'd just rather get there and like know that like I'm in there and I can go see the boy. But yeah, so we had to wait a while. They like had some hosts. They were like doing some games and stuff. They were playing music throughout. And we got drinks. And we went to go check out the rooftop. And I shit you not, every single person up there was smoking weed. Like, yeah. it was so loud up there. And I'm not talking about the music.
Right.
But yeah, we just like chilled up there for a little bit. They had like a little Jenga game like on one of the tables. So like me and my friend were just like playing that while like everyone was just like getting high
as
shit.
Oddly, I don't know if this is still the case. You'll have to tell me. But like, every fucking bar in Austin had big Jenga back in my heyday, like when I was still going to the bars a lot. You know what I'm saying? Big Jenga being like the big ass Jenga.
Yeah, no, that's
like,
what they had. They had the big ass Jenga. Yeah.
But I spent many, many, many hours of my nights out in Austin, Texas playing large Jenga drunk.
Yeah.
It's really fun, honestly.
It's intense. Like, I didn't play the first game. I was smoking, and I was just, like, watching my friend play. And I was like, damn, this is getting intense because, like, you know, it starts to wobble a little bit. I was locked into this game.
As a spectator.
Yeah. And I was, like, fucking with him. Like, there'd be, like, one piece that, like, I was like, oh, yo, hit that one because, like, then it'll just, like, fall over. And so I was just fucking with him. But so, yeah, we did that for a while. And then my buddy was, like, trying to hit on anything that was, like, walking around. So that was cool, I guess. I'm just like, all right, whatever.
Buddy was horny.
Yeah, he was H Chef for sure.
Speaking of Buddy, I'm assuming you didn't wear your Buddy the Elf costume to the Key Glock show.
No, but I might as well have. Like, we kind of stuck out like a sore thumb there.
Regardless?
Yeah.
I figured that might be the case.
But, like, that was fine. I wasn't, like, too concerned about that. But I will be wearing that on Sunday, I think. Buddy.
For St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, because, you know, it makes total sense, Buddy, showing up for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, just quickly, I'm going to Michael Weiner's St. Patrick's Day party tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
He's, like, hosting one at his house. Yeah, it's, like, kid-friendly.
Okay.
Taking the kids, going out to Micah's place, doing some St. Patty's Day celebrating.
Nice. Gonna have some NA beers.
My least favorite fucking holiday. Even when I was drinking, dude, I've never really cared for St. Patty's Day. I think when I was drinking, the level of drunk people get on St. Patrick's Day was just my normal.
Yeah.
That was how drunk I was always. So I was unimpressed. And then once I quit drinking, it really lost all its luster.
Yeah, there's really no reason to do anything.
Like you said, what am I gonna die? The NA beers I've been enjoying green? I don't think so, champ.
Yeah, oh, they... No, Atletico doesn't have any green.
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. But anyway, continue.
But okay, so yeah. So yeah, we kind of just have to shoot the shit for a couple hours. And then, like I said, my friend leaves like right before like they actually start performing. So I go down to like the main floor and it was like a really good crowd, but like it wasn't like overcrowded. Like I didn't feel like I was Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards.
Right.
Where like, you know, like a lot of rap concerts, like, it's just packed to the wall, and you, like, can't move. You're just
shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
Literally no room to breathe.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, no, I could move around. I will say it did get, like, really hot towards the end when, like, Keegok was performing. I was sweating.
Dude,
was
the
like,
lights at rap shows in small venues can do that, too.
Yeah. But, like, it was, yeah, like I said, really good crowd, fun environment, and he had five openers.
Five
before he went on, and it started at 9 and it goes until 11. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna see Key Glock for like
15 minutes.
Yeah, he's gonna perform like 3 songs and then like get the fuck out of here. But they all played like 3 to 5 songs. They like went by pretty quick, and they actually all did a pretty good job, I thought. So
none of them were just dog shit.
No, they're all hype as hell, actually.
That's
good. I was kind of getting into it.
Rap shows can be rough.
Yeah.
It can be rough, especially when you're dealing with openers. Like, sometimes they're just unbearably bad and awkward, and yeah.
I will say, like, some, like, did better than others, like, performing-wise, but, like, so it was, like, they, like, brought some energy. That
good vibes,
liked.
Though.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, the artists that performed first were Trap Dicky, never heard of him. Emmanuel the Prophet, never heard of him. Big Mally, who I really liked. She's a female rapper.
Yeah.
She went hard. Big Mally, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
She said at one point, she's like, I don't do that ass shaking shit. I do that thug shit. I'm like, hell yeah. That's what I want to hear.
Big Mally, bro.
Yeah. And then Zeddy Will, who has one song that went viral on TikTok called Cha Cha, and he just samples the Cha Cha slide.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah. But it's catchy, so like it's cool. And then Big Moochie Grape. Who,
you gotta love rapper names.
They're the best.
What in the hell?
But I've heard of him before. I have a few songs that I like by him. But
Big Moochie Grape.
Just a good start. And like I said, they all went through like pretty quick, and like by 10:15, Key Glock was coming on stage. And I was like right by where like all the rappers were like coming to the stage. So like I could like see them all like walking through. And I was like, I was literally like from like here to the doors, like where Key Glock was.
So maybe 10 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he comes on stage, starts off with Let's Go, his new hit single. And he just played the hits mostly. So it was a lot of good stuff. I wish he played some other songs that I really liked, but they're not like as well known, I guess. I was like looking through Spotify, I'm like just seeing like how many listens it has, and like some of them were like 5 million. I'm like, damn. And then like the ones he's playing like all have like over 100 or whatever. So like some of them I didn't know as well. But like it was just like hype as hell still. Like everyone was singing along too. It was good time.
Did you sing along?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But then at one point he did a little tribute to Young Dolph, so he played some of his songs. He did 100 Shots.
No way. Yeah. Okay, I would have gone crazy with that.
Oh yeah, everyone's going crazy to that one. Yeah, everyone's singing that one word for word.
That song never gets old to me.
Yeah, and Major, which also features Key Glock. And then he ended with Russian Cream, my favorite song by him. Have you heard that one?
I don't think so.
Oh, you got it.
Or maybe I have, but I don't know it by title.
Yeah, that one goes. That one really goes.
It's a banger.
It's a banger. It slaps, yeah. And yeah, so that was the last song, and that is when things got a little interesting. Because I was a little drunk, and I was a little high.
Well, you've been there for 5 hours at that point, so.
And I was by myself, and my phone died.
Oh, that's not ideal.
Yeah, I was like filming him sing or perform Russian Cream, and that's when my phone died. I was like checking it the whole night because I forgot to charge it before I left because I just like had too many other things on my mind. And when I got there, I'm like, oh shit, my phone's at like 20% right now.
Ooh.
So I kind of had to milk it like the whole night, and at the very end,
couldn't help yourself, had to film Russian Cream.
I had to film Russian Cream. Yeah, I couldn't not have that song on my phone, you know.
Just got
to
get that live performance recorded,
right? Yeah, that took a few pictures as well, but yeah. So I ended up having to go to a bunky ass convenience store down the street and buy a phone charger.
Oh, fuck
yeah.
I'm sure they had it reasonably priced for you there on 6th Street.
Yeah, it was like $25.
God damn it.
I did need like another one though, because the extra one I have right now like doesn't really charge anymore. So I'm like, I kind of needed it, but like $25.
Dude, this is an example of one of those Apple schemes. The phone chargers have always been less durable than you would think they should be.
Yeah.
Like if you know, they like the cord gets jacked up somehow in there if you've used them enough, traveled with them enough, moved them to different rooms enough. It's like the coils in there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not built very well.
No,
like,
and that's just so they, you have to keep buying more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I've probably owned like 200 Apple phone chargers over the past decade.
That sounds like absurd. Like I don't think I've ever bought more than like two.
Oh my God, I've bought a lot.
Like, maybe I just take better care of mine.
Maybe but, I'm just an idiot. Yeah. But yeah.
But yeah, so I got the charger, and I need somewhere to go charge my phone.
Right, where do you plug it in?
So I decided to walk to the IHOP on Rainy Street.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
First of all, there's an IHOP on Rainy Street now?
I mean, it's like the one like right next to it. Like you,
right off of Rainy Street?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
So I walked there. It was like, I don't know, like 10-15 minute walk, not too bad, just by myself, phone dead, not a care in the world.
God.
Mom, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I'm okay.
Well, yeah, you were safe. You're good. You survived.
And so, like, my reasoning for going to IHOP was, like, no, I had to charge my phone. I might as well, like, go slam some breakfast while I'm there, you know?
Why not?
But that ended up not happening because their service was dog shit, and then no one ever came up to me and it was like, hey.
Nobody asked you for your order?
No. I was sitting there for like 15 minutes. Actually, no, it was probably longer. It might have been like 30 minutes. No one like came up to me at any point.
I mean, IHOP and like Waffle House and the like, notoriously terrible service. Like it's like the lowest tier of the service industry.
Right.
And it usually serving people in the state that you were in last night, drunk and high.
But I was fine, though. Like, I was coherent.
No, I'm just saying, I feel like they just don't care.
And I was just by myself, and I kind of asked them, like, hey, could you put me by an outlet? So they probably just like, oh, he's just charging his phone or whatever. But, okay, like, so I got the...
Just be clear. They seated you.
They seated me. They gave me a menu.
And then never came back
to me. And there's like, a couple, like, right in front of me, too, that they were serving. No one came out to me at any point.
Wait, so the waitress would come to the other table that was right next to you.
Yeah.
You would just sit there?
I was just right behind them.
But you wouldn't, like, raise a hand or something? No. Hello?
I'm here.
Wave the menu in the air?
Right here, no.
Oh, God, okay.
I probably should have, but, like, I don't know.
So they just figured you were some South by Southwest bum who was in there fucking charging your phone that wasn't going to spend any money, and they weren't going to bother with you at all.
Right. But I was, like, looking at the menu, too. I'm like, huh, what do I want? But, like, nope,
damn,
nothing.
That's pathetic.
It kind of is, yeah. But,
so you didn't get any of the breakfast you were looking
forward
to?
No, I didn't get it. I was going to get chicken and waffles, too. I was like, damn, that would have hit the spot. But yeah.
Sad.
But yeah, I just charged my phone, ordered an Uber, and I came home. It was a great night.
How long were you in there, in the fucking IHOP?
Yeah, it was like 30 minutes.
God, it would have been it's a much more complete story if it's Key Glock and then chicken and waffles at IHOP afterward.
Yeah,
but it's a funnier story when it's Key Glock and then just you sitting in an IHOP booth, sadly charging your phone and no one coming by to even ask you for your order and you being too high and drunk to care to, like, dude, it's the classic non-confrontational, socially awkward Cade and Ross type of scenario where you're like, I don't really want to say anything, so I'm just going to take this on the chin and not get to order the chicken and waffles.
I didn't need it. Like, I kind of was going to just splurge, but I was like, you know, it's probably better that I don't have this chicken and waffles.
Well, today it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's not a healthy meal.
No, not at all. Especially at like midnight. That's probably not the best thing you want to eat.
No, it's
but
not
it
good.
Sounded really great at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'd say that's all around a successful evening, though.
Yeah, no, it was great. I had a blast, even though, like, no, I was by myself. Which, like, I've been to concerts by myself before, and like they're fine, but like I always think like having like other people that like also like the music
to vibe with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think it depends on the circumstances. I've done both at ACL specifically, at music festivals. Like, there have been points where I was like, I'm going to go see, it's usually a rapper that my other friends were like, well, we're going to go see some fucking hipster shit that I'm not interested in. And it depends on the vibes of the shit. It depends. Because, like, sometimes you can just kind of get with the crowd and nobody's talking to each other anyway because you're locked in on the performance. But I feel like, didn't you do ACL solo?
I've kind of done ACL solo like every year.
Every time?
Yeah.
Just wander?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just go see the people I like.
You met up with me for like 30 minutes, but I'm there with a baby.
Yeah.
Not going to the shows you want to go to. Or I was at Yachty with
you're
you,
at
technically.
Yachty, but you were like way back. I was like, I was in
back.
The shit, yeah.
Yeah, you were in the mosh pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, didn't want to take baby RJ to his first mosh.
No.
No. It's all right, maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe. I was thinking about this the other day. I probably won't get to take him back to ACL for like 4 more years. Because now he's the age where it's like, he's mobile.
Yeah.
He's walking. And he was not when I took him to ACL. And like he slept through like chunks of the day. We went, I think, all 3 days, which is a miracle. It's like the first time I've been to all 3 days of ACL since I was like 25. Because usually I go Friday and Saturday, and then I'm too hungover and dead to the world to do anything on Sunday. But I think it'll be a few years before I can actually take him out there again because he'll be too wild.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on him at all times.
Yeah, there's no way he'll let me strap him into a stroller the way he was for very long anyway. And then there's no way I'm chasing him around. That's just too stressful.
Yeah.
There's 50,000 people out there on foot.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
So I'll need him to get to an age where he understands, like, or I could just leash him up, you know, put him on a leash.
Yeah.
Like some of
those
parents
do. That's what all the great parents are doing.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're leashing them up. They're
yeah, just like the dogs.
That's what they do. Yeah, the irony being, of course, that my dogs are never on leashes and I would put my kid on one. So anyway, I'm glad you made it safe and sound.
Yeah, we're here. We're doing it.
And you're slowly but surely getting in all like the Austin experiences that I wanted you to have.
Yeah. What am I missing right now still?
I don't know. Have you swam in one of the natural pools or whatever, like the Barton Springs pool?
I haven't done Barton Springs now.
I still haven't done any of the pools.
Okay, so.
And I've been here for a long 13 years. If you go this summer, we should go together. We'll check that one off together.
I did go to Terry Black's for the first time, like a couple months ago.
It's a barbecue joint.
Yeah.
You still haven't been to Bucky's, right?
No, I haven't been to Bucky's, but that's not like an Austin thing.
No, but I feel
it's
like it's Texas.
Thing.
It still should be on the list. Mm-hmm. feel like there was something else. I was like, we have to do this together. I have to take you to this, but I can't remember what it was. At some point, we should go to the Austin Zoo just because it's kind of hilarious. It's very Tiger King.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of shitty, isn't it?
It's not at all what you would expect.
Yeah.
If you've ever been, have you been to a good zoo?
Yeah, Indy has a good zoo.
You got a solid zoo there, an impressive zoo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this would make that look even better.
Nice.
Because it's the Austin one is, like I said, Tiger Country. Did I say Tiger King?
You did say what Tiger is, King. It is what, Tiger King.
It's Tiger King. King. Okay, yeah. I was right. I'm good. I'm good.
You're good.
Anyway.
But yeah, I'm excited I was able to check Key Glock off my list of artists to see.
South by Southwest show.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good for you,
very,
Cade.
Very excited, yeah.
Good for you. When I'm working out, there are a few essential things I absolutely must have. My AirPods, my water bottle, and my Fitbod app on my phone. Today's episode is brought to you by Fitbod. Fitbod is a fitness app that creates completely personalized workouts that adapt as you improve, whether you're a seasoned gym goer or just starting your fitness journey. Fitbod will push you to make progress. It's like having your own personal trainer, but better. It's cheaper, you can work out anywhere with or without equipment, and it's easy to build a custom fitness plan that works for you. And unlike with a personal trainer, there's nobody talking to you and watching you. It's just you and your app, which I really appreciate as a socially awkward person. I've been using the Fitbod app for over a year now, I believe, and it's legitimately awesome. Over 130 Fitbod workouts in. And before I started using Fitbod, I did the exact same workouts every time I worked out for years. I had like a chest and an arms day and a legs and back day, but I would do the same freaking workouts, and eventually it was not doing anything for my body. I plateaued hard. Fitbod is the future. It has everything you wish those other apps had. It's been one of my favorite and most positive additions to my life in the last couple years. Fitbod adapts as I progress, and by rating each exercise within my workout, it learns how difficult or easy it was for me and adjusts accordingly. It lets me set a goal of 4 workouts a week, helps me hold myself accountable to my fitness journey, and this past year has been far and away the most consistent I've been with my workouts since I was in high school baseball, and it wasn't my choice. Fitbod is an essential part of my life, no exaggeration. Add Fitbod to your workout essentials. Join Fitbod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free at fitbod.me/Ross. That's FITBOD.ME/ROSS. Fitbod.me/Ross. Go check it out today. 25% off your subscription, or you can try the app for free when you go to Fitbod.me/Ross. So, while Cade has been off living life as a young adult, seeing concerts, going on dates, enjoying Run Club, and crushing cold ones, I've been getting the absolute shit kicked out of me. It's essentially been the opposite experience. Last week went terribly awry. I had an intense panic attack on Wednesday night, spurred at least in part by the story I am about to tell you. Then I got sick. Then this week, my kids are both on spring break, so their school is closed. And because my wife and I are both self-employed, when we don't have childcare, it's a shitstorm. It's tough to get anything done. It's been brutal. Thank you for allowing me this time to vent. Now, to the funny story I referred, or at least a story that will be funny to you good people. It's not very funny to my wife. So last Wednesday, we were doing bedtime with the kids, and my wife was in my stepdaughter's bed with my son reading a book, okay? And my son was flipped upside down, like standing on his head with his feet up against the headboard and in between my stepdaughter and my wife, and I was like, ha-ha, this is a funny and cute moment. I will photograph it with my phone and document it. So I took a picture. And then without really looking at it, like a lot of times when I'm doing stuff with my kids, I'll send the photo to my family group text to like share it with my parents, my brother, my sister-in-law, my wife is in there too. So without really looking at the photo I had just taken, I sent it to them. And then shortly after hitting send, it was time for me to put my son to bed while my wife was tending to my stepdaughter. And so I was in his room, his bedroom right there. And that took like 20 minutes getting him down. When I came out, I walked into my bedroom, and I found my wife in our bed, and she looked, I'd say, slightly disgruntled. And it turns out, because right before I had taken that photo, like several minutes earlier, like she had been breastfeeding my son, her nipple is low-key out in the photo, just a nipple floating in the wind. So low key that I didn't even notice. And yeah, I sent that to my entire family, my mom, my dad, my brother, my my sister-in-law just a nipple shot. And like, okay, but like, so just to, like, not that bad, like not that big of a deal. But
just a little nip slip,
but definitely awkward. Yeah. I mean, but like the ultimate nips, I obviously can't show the photo, but it's like when for any women who are listening, which is probably a limited amount, that have breastfed, which is probably an even more limited amount. It's, when you're breastfeeding, you wear clothes that are easy to get boob access. So a lot of the time it's like a quick, like, you know, you're able to just like whip a boob out. And then when you put it back, sometimes like in this situation in the bedroom that night, like when it's just us. So she's not that worried about it. And like the nipple didn't quite get back in.
Yeah, you've seen it before. So
yeah. And it's not a big deal to me or the kids. So we, you know, it wasn't, she didn't know I was going to be taking a photo, and then she didn't know I was going to be sending the photo to our entire fucking family. But it's hilarious. Cause it's like, it's not like a full boob.
Yeah.
It's like just nipple. Like, nobody in the family group text even acknowledged this. Like, this conversation right now on the show, when my mom listens to this episode, will be the first time it has been acknowledged in my family. And I don't even know if any of them noticed or if they were all just being polite
and not saying anything.
Because, you know, in hindsight, when my wife pointed this out to me and I went and looked at the photo, it's pretty blatant. So much so that I was in a terrible fit of laughter, because when she told me this, like when I walked in, she looks disgruntled and then she informs me of why. The edible I took just hit. and I was fucking laughing so hard at this because it was so funny. And she was like, what's funny about this? And I was like, come on,
it's just family.
It's just family, but I get why it was embarrassing for her. And it just, but she didn't find it nearly as funny as I did. And I was laughing so hard that I had a full-blown panic attack for like 30 minutes. And I mean, I don't think just the photo was the reason for the panic attack. We don't have to go on a full therapy journey today and explain, but it was, I think it kind of spurred it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I felt kind of bad, but also I was hysterically laughing kind of uncontrollably, and the edible was hitting, and it was a long day. And I, like I said, the last couple weeks have been kind of chaotic, really the last couple years. And so I fucking, I went to the bathroom and I was like about to brush my teeth and I felt the panic attack coming on and I was like, oh no. And I walked out and I sat down next to her on the bed and I just told her like, yeah, I'm about to have a panic attack. And she was like, oh no. And she comforted me through it. My wife is really good at that, but it sucked. It was fucking awful. It hit so hard. And then it was like, when I have a really bad one, I'll feel the after effects, like the tremors, for like days. So it was really up until like Monday, Tuesday this week that I was still feeling this thing on some level. And it stunk. It was tough. With that in mind, I do talk a lot more about mental health on Patreon in the form of our mental health minisodes. But one of the positives that came from the panic attack, aside from now knowing it's probably a good idea to check photos before I just fire them off to my family, because God knows if there's going to be a nipple or even a baby dick in there, who knows, you know?
don't want those in there.
You can't be too careful. One of the things that occurred to me in the aftermath of the attack was like, I don't focus as much on mental health on this show as I would like to. And I'm talking about on our public episodes like this one. And I want that to be something that I reintegrate into RBP more than just the mental health minisodes on Patreon. So I'm going to start doing that again and sharing more mental health stuff and kind of weaving it back in. Like, I want this show to be funny and entertaining still. And I think I can still do mental health talk and make that funny and entertaining as well. This being a fairly random and strange example, the story with the nipple. But moving forward, for those of you who have missed that element of our show and are not on Patreon, because I think, like, the mental health minisodes are all good and well. They're me pretty much sharing my own journey and my therapy journey and some of my experiences. Kate has good mental health takes, too.
Kate, oh, thanks.
You do. And you're also in therapy, and I think you're good at talking about this stuff, so I think we can create some good stuff together in the vein of mental health on RBP. So we're going to be bringing that back. So this is
You're letting me know now.
Me telling you that.
Okay, great.
Live on the show.
Glad to know. Nice.
In the form of a story about my wife's nipples. Yeah. So again, I'm sorry about that, honey. Yeah. That was my fault. Not you, Cade. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. But it kind of sucks that boobs gave you a panic attack. Usually they're supposed to bring you joy.
No, they do usually bring me joy. I think that was part of why it was so confusing for my brain. My brain was like, nipples are good.
Yeah.
Why do you feel bad? But it was a confusing night all around. Speaking of which, today's episode is also brought to you by Mood. If you're like me and you have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep or relaxing in social situations or staying calm in general, maybe dealing with soreness after workouts, Mood might interest you. So listen up. Mood is an online dispensary with a variety of products tailored to set your mood, with product lines like Energized, Creative, and Focused to help you get in the right mood for whatever your day has in store. And for a limited time, Mood is giving the RBP gang a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just visit hellomood.com and use our code RBP. I'm a big fan personally of Mood's Sleepy Time Delta 9 THC gummies that help me wind down at the end of the day, get to sleep, and stay asleep so I can recharge and get ready for another day of podcasting and getting my ass kicked by my kids. Mood is known for their federally legal THC, and now they're adding their most potent product yet to the lineup, introducing hemp-based THCA flower, the future of legal THC. Try it, along with all of Mood's other amazing offerings like gummies, vape cartridges, and more. THCA flower is Mood's latest and most potent breakthrough in the world of legal cannabis. Since THCA converts into THC when you heat it, you get access to the classic marijuana high, and Mood has 10 high-inducing strains. The most potent they've ever offered is, of course, the THCA. However you like to take THC, Mood has you covered. Great for both beginner and veteran users. Great-tasting gummies, classic flower, convenient pre-rolls, and so much more. Try Mood's new THCA flower today for a limited time only. Get 20% off your first order and a free THCA pre-roll when you go to hellomood.com and use promo code RBP. That's hellomood.com, code RBP for 20% off your order and a free THCA pre-roll. I've got an insane headline of the day that is also just a hilarious story in the world of podcasting. And when I say hilarious, it's also terrible and sad, but you have to laugh to keep from crying. You know how it is, Cade.
Right.
Here's your headline. Criminal justice advocate arrested after human torso is found in NYC apartment. So, Cade, you're familiar with the Joe Rogan podcast.
I am, yeah.
You've heard of this?
I've heard of it. I've seen it, yeah.
Everyone has, right? Joe Rogan, I think inarguably the biggest podcaster in the world.
I would say so, yeah.
He was doing it before anybody else was, at a level that was above everybody else, and then he's continued to blow up. He's signed hundreds of millions of dollars worth of deals with Spotify. The guy has made generational wealth talking into a microphone, which is just like, the Joe Rogan story in general is so fucking weird and random, because he was like the X Factor host. He's a UFC announcer, right?
Yeah.
At the fights, commentator. Mm-hmm. And then he has the Joe Rogan podcast. He has stand-up comedy. He's big in the world of comedy. Now that he lives in Austin, Texas, and his studio is here, he does a lot of shit with local stand-up. I think he might have his own comedy club altogether.
Yeah, the Mothership.
There you go.
On 36, yeah.
A lot of the dudes that you see in the world of stand-up at the top today, Theo Vaughn being a random good example, those dudes blew up in part because of their appearances on Joe Rogan's show and their affiliation with him. He's an insanely influential human being at a level that's almost inexplicable, where you're just like, how is this guy? Like, the comparison I've made before, just to drag myself into it, narcissistically, it would be like if this show got so big and we had hundreds of millions of listeners or whatever, that we were actually influencing people to you know, on a massive scale, which wouldn't make any sense because this is just us in here fucking around.
Right.
That's how it is with Rogan. Like, and people get really upset with him about shit, and this is an example of a story that a lot of people really enjoyed because it made Joe look like kind of a jackass. Because he had this dude named Sheldon Johnson on his show in February. And Sheldon Johnson, the criminal justice advocate, a month after being on Rogan's show talking about criminal justice reform, you know, how we need to switch up like the way that prisons operate, the way that parole works, the way that probation works, all that stuff, classic criminal justice reform stuff. A month later, after being on the biggest podcast in the world, they find a human torso in his fucking apartment, and he's being arrested for murder. So I'll read you some of the story from NBC News. A former convict who became a criminal justice reform advocate was arrested on several charges, including murder, after police found a human torso in a Bronx apartment while conducting a welfare check. The gruesome discovery was made Tuesday just before 8:30 p.m. at a Summit Avenue apartment, the New York City Police Department said in a news release. Upon arrival, police said officers found an unidentified human torso at the location. EMS responded and pronounced the aided deceased on the scene, which typically if you just find a torso.
Yeah. Kind of clear sign that he's not...
No head, no arms, no legs. It's not alive.
Yeah, yeah, he ceased to live, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The victim was identified later as a 44-year-old male, Colin Small. The torso was found at Small's apartment. So I guess it was the dead guy's apartment.
Yeah.
And the suspect, Sheldon Johnson, was arrested Thursday, charged with murder, manslaughter, weapon possession, concealment of a human corpse, and criminal contempt. He was arraigned... He pleaded not guilty, which, good luck. Johnson, 48, had spent 25 years in prison for attempted murder when he was a high-ranking member of the Bloods gang, NBC New York reported. And then when he got out of prison, he became a criminal justice reform influencer, essentially. Became so good at that, on some level, that he ends up on Rogan's show and then gets popped again for...
For actual murder. He had to finish the job.
Murder, man. Yeah, I guess so. Murder, manslaughter, weapon possession, concealment of a human corpse, and criminal contempt. Just worst case scenario, though. We've had a lot of guests on over the years.
Right.
Some of them more random than others. And some of them that I didn't know very well. It would be worst case scenario if we had a guest on, but not only had a guest on with the intention of speaking to criminal justice reform. And how, you know, prison isn't doing a good enough job of helping people change. I guess his new crime kind of proves the point. But that they need to switch up the way the criminal justice system works. And then a month later, after appearing on our show, they've dismembered a corpse.
Yeah.
And are being charged with murder.
So does this have anything to do with the leg that was found on the New York subway?
No, that story ended up being... Okay, so... I've gotten a lot of questions about that fucking leg we discussed.
Okay.
It turns out that leg was actually because some guy got on the track, got hit by a subway train.
Oh, fuck.
And then it dragged his leg, like, around the city, and it ended up on the track. So it wasn't inside the car of the train.
Okay.
It was on the track, which I misunderstood.
Gotcha. All right. Wow, that's...
It's way more gruesome and less interesting.
Yeah, that's all right. I thought this
somebody got smoked by a train and their leg got ripped off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I thought this dude was like trying to do a scavenger hunt or something with all the bodies.
No, but that would have been an interesting story, too.
So where's the rest of them?
I don't know.
They don't know. I think he is trying to do a scavenger hunt.
Same question. I have not been able to find like an update on like where did they discover the rest of the body?
Yeah, and like,
just the torso. And how did they identify the body with just the torso? Is I guess because it was in the apartment of the...
Yeah, I kind of had to assume that it would be his.
I guess there's some connection.
They don't know where Colin Small is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, so...
Well, it's him. It's just
it's
fucking bummer, though. And I almost feel bad for Rogan because it's so unfortunate. We should have somebody on to talk criminal justice reform.
Yeah.
Let's go with this guy, Sheldon Johnson. And then, like, who knows? At that point, he may have already...
He might have done the murder. Yeah.
Who the fuck knows? Good, though.
Wild stuff.
Yeah, you got to be careful with the podcast guests. Right. For people who wonder, like, why'd Ross stop having guests on? This is why.
Yeah.
I'm too scared that one of them is going to dismember a corpse.
Maybe our corpse.
But it could be, yeah. And that's the last thing we need.
Right.
Because if you're just a torso, you can't podcast.
No, you can't. No.
It's hard to talk into a
microphone. Yeah, and if it's me, then you're going to have to find another co-host again. Like, you're on, like, 7 or 8 at this
point. I'd give up.
Yeah.
I'd just prop your torso up right there in the chair, bro. Yeah. And I'd turn you into, like, it'd be a mannequin situation, like a ventriloquist situation.
Oh, yeah, you just, like, put your arm up my body and just, do the talking. Good stuff.
All right, I'll move on. Today's episode is also brought to you by thefreezepipe.com. Ripping the bong doesn't have to hurt. Upgrade to a freeze pipe today to experience icy smooth clouds without the throat burn, chest pain, or coughing attacks. Freeze Pipe is an American-owned glass brand that makes a unique line of freezeable pipes, bubblers, and bongs that cool smoke by over 300 degrees. The secret is freezeable glycerin chambers that come on every piece. You simply pop one of these chambers in the freezer for an hour. Then when you light up and smoke passes through, it's instantly chilled for a pain-free and refreshing experience. Glycerin is a non-toxic gel that freezes quicker than water and stays frozen longer. Smoking a freeze pipe is like putting ice cubes in your bong if those ice cubes took steroids and played baseball in the 1990s with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire. If you're still smoking out of a regular-ass piece without glycerin chambers that make every hit as smooth as silk, you're living in the past. The future is now, old man. It's time to get yourself a freeze pipe. They sent Cade and I a big-ass box filled with a bunch of their different products, and these things are incredible. I absolutely love them. You and your lungs deserve one. Say goodbye to harsh smoke and coughing attacks by shopping the smoothest pipes, bubblers, bongs, and more at thefreezepipe.com. Use code RBP for 10% off your order. Cade, you've been dabbling with the...
Yeah, I've been testing out the products a little bit here and there. Yeah.
Thoughts, feelings?
It's great stuff. I never want to go back to the old ways.
To a normal bong with no glycerin chamber?
Yeah, no. It just hits different.
It hits different, folks.
Yeah, and it's icy smooth.
Icy smooth.
Doesn't burn the lungs.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good to know. TheFreezePipe.com, code RBP for 10% off. Link and code in the description of this episode. Priced affordably with free domestic shipping. Order today and start fighting fire with ice. All right, as promised, next up you will hear a couple of hotline calls from this week's ad-free exclusive episode on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast and Cade and I's responses to those calls. If you want to hear the full episode and have access to our massive backlog of ad-free exclusive episodes from the last few years, a shit ton of episodes, like hundreds, go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, and right now you can subscribe for free for a week. It's a 7-day free trial, so make sure and take advantage of that. Enjoy.
Yo, what up, Ross? It's actually, I'm going to remain anonymous due to the context here, but I got a trash or trash, I don't know. Okay, is it trash to shoplift from a large corporation, like, what? Say, a Lowe's or a Walmart, if you need the item? I'm helping a buddy out on a plumbing repair, and I need a rake to, like, rake the shit back in the ground. And I went in to get a rake, and it was, like, $30. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And so I just looked. I was out in the garden center. There's no one at the door. I just fucking walked out with the rake. You know, nobody said shit. Nobody said, hey, stop you. You know? Like, I don't know. Should I feel bad? It's $30. Do they really need my $30? Probably not.
Is it trash or not trash to shoplift?
Stealing. Theft. Larceny, trash or not trash?
No, I get why I didn't want to say his name.
You committed a crime, yeah. Sir. You're asking too many different questions because at the end you said, "Should I feel bad?" Maybe not. Maybe you shouldn't feel bad because, like you said, Walmart doesn't need $30. They don't
care.
But
it's not just. It's like the company that made the rake.
Fair
that's
enough.
Like losing
it's also
the money.
Impacted. Yeah. So many things about this. Like, what do you need a rake for a plumbing repair? He said he was raking the shit back into the ground, which I don't. I see what you're saying. So y'all had to, like, put in a pipe or dig out a pipe, and then you have to. Okay, so I follow. But yeah, no, bro, you cannot. This audience, y'all have found a way to make every goddamn thing into a trash or not trash, and it is unbelievable. But this is a new low. This is a new low. And I love that he said, like, you factored in that there was nobody in the area to stop you.
Watching.
That nobody said, hey, stop. That's not how crime works either. That doesn't mean, like, somebody's going to call in and be like, yo, Ross, so, yeah, no, I got into an altercation with my neighbor, and I murdered the guy, and there was nobody saying, like, yo, stop, don't do it. So is this trash or not trash? The fact that nobody saw you does not change anything. You still broke a law and committed theft. You fucking nut.
And sometimes, like stores like that, they will let you, like, take something, like, leave because, like, they probably have cameras or something. And, like, they'll just, like, not they're not going to worry about it then because they'll just
get you.
It's
their company policy to not stop shoplifters because there's an insurance thing in there somewhere. But yeah, like at I want to say like Best Buy and shit.
Yeah.
They report you. They call
the
police.
I've seen someone, like a video on Twitter where someone tried to steal like a laptop and one of like the employees like just like straight up like tackled the dude.
Dude, but I've also heard stories where an employee does something like that and then the employee gets fired.
Yeah.
Because the company policy, and not every company, I'm not saying this is a blanket thing, but a lot of companies, their policy is you do not interfere with shoplifters. You report them, do the police report, all that shit, give them the camera footage, like you said, that's usually on camera. But they don't want like you to try to stop a shoplifter and then you get murdered by the shoplifter and then there's a much bigger loss, a loss of life that has occurred.
And like they, again, like they don't like chase after you because like, you'll think like, oh, I can just go in there and do it again. But then like they'll remember you, and then that's when they get you.
Yeah,
like when you try to go back.
Yeah, or they've already gotten your ass before you have the chance to go back because they see your face on the camera and go find you or whatever. But like, yeah, no, dude. Like, I thought when he started the call, he was like, "Is it okay? Like, if you take something, if you need it." I thought he was talking like Aladdin. Like Aladdin's on the streets of whatever
city. Need some bread to feed your family.
He's literally starving to death, so he has to steal a loaf of bread. That's a circumstance where I'm like, I can back theft.
Yeah.
But you were just at a Walmart or some shit with a rake in your hand like, well, there's nobody around. Fuck it, I'm out. Because this rake costs $30, which frankly, it doesn't sound that outrageous to me. $30 for a rake in 2024. Come on, we inflation bent us over a barrel here. $30 is about what it costs for a good solid rake, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, you're ridiculous, bro. Don't call in here and try to get me to absolve you of your fucking crimes, you thief. You fucking rake stealing fuck. Next call.
Ross, Cade. So I'm listening to y'all's to the podcast this week, and Ross, you were talking about getting RJ some like Jordans and how he outgrown them. Well, I just want to get your thoughts on this. So before I was even a dad, I always wanted to be like, oh, I'm going to have my kid looking fresh always. They're going to be wearing Vans and all his expensive shoes and everything. Now as a dad, I'm like, hey, yeah, they outgrow them so fast. And obviously, I'll still get her some good stuff, some nice shoes, some stripe, whatever there's, I forgot what they are. But get her some nice shoes. But also for daycare, like, she goes out in the playground and instantly ruins them. And so now I bought Walmart shoes for her just to go to daycare because I'm like, I'm not going to spend $40 just for them to get ruined the next day at daycare. But yeah, let me know your thoughts. Like, would you buy your kid just some cheap shit shoes just to get by through the day, or do you always have them looking stylish? So let me know your thoughts. Gang, gang.
Good question, especially considering my sneakerhead lifestyle that I was living before children. First of all, stride right was what he was looking for. Yes, so no, I mean, I've got two of the pairs of shoes on our recording desk as like decorations for the set that I bought for RJ. Well, one of them actually, Brandon, our lawyer, gave me the LeBrons. And then I bought him some of the Jordan, the numbers escaping me, but some Jordans. I think he wore the Jordans like four or five times before he outgrew them. And
how much was that like per wear?
I think they were only like $65. That's one thing about children's shoes. They're very small.
Yeah.
So they're not nearly as pricey as you would think. He's been rocking the Yeezy foam runners. I got him some foam runners, and they finally fit him. And he loves them, dude. They're just super. Those are great. That's a different example, but like part of what our caller was saying, they destroy everything.
Yeah.
Like they're in the mud. They don't give a fuck. They're all over the place. So like the foam runners are great because they're super easy to clean. But that being said, I haven't bought my son a pair of shoes since before he was born. Because part of our, like, my wife has enough friends with kids, all our shit is hand-me-downs. So what these moms do, at least in our circle, we rotate everything. So, like, my 5-year-old stepdaughter, she outgrew a bunch of her clothes. Another one of our friends has a little girl. We send all the shit that my stepdaughter used to wear to them. So then they have all of the clothing they could possibly need for up through like age 5. Same thing. So like my son, RJ, he's rocking almost entirely hand-me-downs from other people. We have a shitload of clothes and shoes none of which we paid for, because it's just like rotating between these like five groups of women and their kids. And that's been, I cannot more highly recommend that strategy.
No, that's a genius idea.
It is fucking genius. You're not paying for anything. So like, we have not had to buy him any clothes. The first thing we realized we don't really have for him is bathing suits for this summer. Because we had infant ones, like for when he was a newborn, you know, but like now he's coming up on, what, he's like a year and a couple months, a year and a couple months, and we don't have any bathing suits that fit him, so we're going to have to get him some bathing suits. But we get like the cheapest possible shit, because like he said, like you go into it thinking like, my kid's going to be fucking fly.
Tripped out, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I thought the same thing. But then you get into the mix and like, that is the least of your concerns,
bro.
Yeah,
who gives a shit? Like, it doesn't fucking matter. No one really gives a shit.
And honestly, there's enough shit. Like, there's some days where my wife will dress him and I'm like, God, he looks like a fucking idiot. Where I'm just like, this outfit sucks. But more often than not, I'm like, that is so fucking cute.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't matter. And they don't give a shit. And the other babies don't. No, babies aren't looking at each other like, what are you wearing? You know what I mean? So like, they don't. They don't care. What,
you don't got the new Jordans on? Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Could it be me?
Scrub.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. And for the most part, like, you're just trying to get them to survive and survive in advance. And it's having a kid is so fucking expensive anyway. You don't want to be spending money you don't have to spend. So, yeah, we've gone like the hand-me-down route on everything with both my kids, and it's been awesome. And at some point that won't be as easy to do as it has been when they get a little older. But yeah, until then, I don't buy anything I don't have to, bro. Like, it's straight hand-me-downs or cheapest possible options if we do have to buy something, because it is the least important factor of childhood. And it's funny because I see photos of me from when I was a baby. My mom used to dress me up in some outrageous shit, dude. Like,
yeah,
I don't even know what her style, how to describe the style of what she was putting me up, but just crazy little outfits.
Just getting you wrong.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Which I'm sure my mom doesn't appreciate me saying, but also I look like such a goof. It was in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, so shit was different back then. But yeah, yeah, I try not to spend any money. And that also applies to me. Like, I think the only pair of shoes I've bought since he was born are the $20 Yeezy pods, which have yet to arrive. I don't know where they are.
Coming any day, probably.
I don't. Nobody.
Maybe he's coming with the Vultures too.
Yeah. Oh God. No, I'm not paying for that. I'm not doing it. No more. That's the only $20 Kanye's getting out of me. I swear to God. I promise. I promise. I swear on my children. I will not give him any more money. I just needed to see what these ninja fucking socks.
Aqua
socks are about. Yeah. But yeah. Right. No, he's exactly right.
But yeah. No. Yeah, I got some new shoes for Christmas, and like I want to wear them out, but they always get fucking dirty. And
yeah,
put me on to like the wipes I use to clean them, but like some of the stuff is just like caked on there, and they're like a lot, like the majority of it's white, so it's just like it looks like shit. I'm just like, oh, that's,
fuck, it's such a bummer, dude. Yeah. Bars are tough.
Yeah,
the bars are tough because people spill drinks. There's weird foreign substances on the floor, like from the movie theater that I got on those. I got that sticky shit all over my foam runners, so yeah. It wasn't that hard to get off. If those had been sneakers, like regular people's shoes, not a psychotic, bipolar Kanye West, I would have been screwed. It would have ruined a pair of Jordans.
Yeah.
There was no way I would have been able to get this off. So, yeah, it's a risk that you run. If you're going to get new kicks and you're going to rock them to the bars, it's not even a matter of being careful. It's just a matter of being lucky at that point.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to get lucky. Because, like, it's easy to avoid obvious shit like mud
or
puddles.
Like puddles. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's the bars. You just don't even notice that you're suddenly stepping in something.
And then, like, you're getting drunker throughout the night, so you're just, like,
you care less
aware.
And less.
Yeah. And then you come home, you're just like, oh, fuck.
Dude, and it's usually, I mean, I can remember, like, seriously, so many specific instances of me wearing sneakers out to the bar, getting home, recognizing that they were fucked, and being like, that's fine, I'll clean them tomorrow.
Yep.
And then I wake up the next day, and I look at them, and I'm like, I should have cleaned these last night. Now yeah. They're screwed. There's no way this is coming off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you lose your inhibition, your sneakers are kind of, and you know, you're out there trying to drain your balls so that they don't hurt.
Right?
Your shoes are the least of your worries. It's a tough spot for sneakerheads.
But I will say, like, I do a pretty good job. Like, I think, like, whenever I wear whatever shoes I wear, like, I always clean them, like, right before. And then, again, like, the wipes, like, really help. Because, like, I probably shouldn't have done this, but, like, I would just, like, take a toothbrush and some, like, dish soap and, like, run the shoe under, like, some warm wire.
Yeah, I used to do that.
Scrub it.
I used to do that.
And did a pretty good job, but, like, I'm sure there's, like, way better, like, options for that.
Oh, dude, the shoe cleaning industry is insane now. Like, if you Google, like, sneaker cleaner, there's so many products and brushes and different solutions and liquids that you're supposed wipes and whatnot. It's madness. I've shared it on here before, so I'll share it again. The wipes that I use and the ones that Kate was referring to, they're called Jason Mark. I believe there's either two R's or two K's in Mark. But those are really solid, man. I've used those for years. And unless you get into some really serious shit, which Cade did.
I just didn't have those at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, it didn't do, like, the best job, I think, when I was just using the toothbrush. So it kind of just, like, just stayed on there. And, like,
made it worse.
Yeah.
But those are solid. Those are a good option. Jason Mark sneaker wipes, if you're looking for something to use on your sneaks or on your children's sneaks, if you got the issue that our caller and me have now. All right, that's it. Hit patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast for the full episode. We appreciate everybody who's already on Patreon and those of you who do join to support our show. And again, there's a 7-day free trial that you can access now. If you just want to check it out, if you're not sold, want to see what it's all about there on Patreon, where every episode is ad-free and exclusive. And that will do it for today's show. Please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. Do it for Dan, the ad salesman. You can find the links to all of today's sponsors in the description below, including the freezepipe.com code RBP for 10% off, fitbod.me/Ross to get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free, and hellomood.com code RBP for 20% off your order and a free THC pre-roll. To check out our other shows, Formula Bone, where J-Bone is covering F1 all year long, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, where right now we are enjoying Shogun. Me and Barrett Dudley are the hosts. And of course, if you're a Houston sports fan, Banging the Can, where I will be doing a new episode next week to talk about all the Texans NFL free agency moves and draft trades as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at WRBolin. Mr. Cade, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social medias at Cadeors. That's Kadeorris.
Cade with a K. Follow RBP on all the social platforms as well, like Instagram, where we have been undeniably shadow banned, as well as TikTok, where the same has occurred. But we're still free birds on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Ross Bolin Pod on X. This episode of RBP is presented by Bolin Media. Until next time, remember, you are not alone. Peace be with you, and also with you.
Go low, baby.